We have been preaching the Gospel of Mark on and off since the early part of the year. And as we enter chapter 10, it gets more and more intense. And this is one of those Jesus stories that kind of gives you whiplash as you try to comprehend what's going on in this story. It made me think of that old hymn, and it's actually in our hymn books, number 668, Wonderful Words of Life. Maybe you know the refrain, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. But then as I was reading this story this week, I was thinking, shoot me through my heart, look at me with love, wonderful words of life. Jesus again upending the value systems and the expectations of his disciples. And in part one of this story, we're privy to Jesus in a conversation with a really rich person, maybe comparatively a multimillionaire. And maybe we feel distant from the shoes of a multimillionaire, but we are North Americans and we do pretty well. So it's good for us to overhear this conversation that Jesus is having with this religious person. This person who's done well, he's comfortable, he's rich, he has many possessions. But have those possessions truly satisfied the longings of his heart? Does he really possess the life that he wants? And so he poses the question to Jesus that seems to haunt his imagination and his life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The kind of life that really, really lasts. And Jesus looks at the man and loves him. Nowhere in this Gospel of Mark is there an encounter with Jesus where Jesus loves them. Jesus looks deep into this person's eye, maybe deep into his soul, and he loves what he sees. But then he sets up the multi-million dollar challenge. You lack one thing. And can you imagine what's going through this guy's mind in this moment? First off, I lack something? Really, Jesus? But then secondly, maybe he's intrigued. Yes, I do lack something. That's why I asked the question. And it's only one thing? Tell me what it is. My finger hovers above the keyboard for the online order. I'll get it. And of course, we know that the answer is not a matter of purchasing another possession. It's about the posture of letting go. Letting go of decades of savings and wealth and accumulation and riches. Letting go of all the possessions that an educated, responsible, committed, hardworking, financially adept person might possess. And Jesus, with tenderness and compassion, says words of healing and freedom to the rich man. Go, sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. It's time for that refrain again. Shoot me in my heart, look at me with love. Wonderful words of life. Somehow in Jesus' economy, we're healed and set free as we let go of the things that possess us. That we can actually find freer and less cluttered spaces when we open up our hearts and hands and let go. Was this man able to let go of his wealth and accumulation? Was he able to clear the rooms of his mansions and his heart to make space for the spirit and the ways of Jesus? We don't know for sure, But at this moment in time in the story, we read that he did not embrace the kind of life that lasts. He was not healed. He was instead shocked. He went away grieving, for he had many possessions. So how do we feel at this moment in the story? Maybe Jesus reads our minds, and maybe he has read the mind of his disciples, for he shouts out, "Children, how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And in the midst of what feels impossible, Jesus names the possible. And this is our verse of the day. This is the embroider this and put it on a tapestry in your dining room. Mark 10:27. For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. Now, this verse can be mishandled in many ways, and perhaps you've experienced that mishandling. But in the middle of the story, I would encourage us to grab onto it as good news. There's hope. And Peter tries to make sense of these words. He says, "Okay, Jesus, you say there's a possibility here? And can I point out to you that unlike Mr. Richie Fancy Pants over there, who just abandoned you, we have left everything to follow you." And as he did with the rich man, I've got to believe that he did the same with Peter, that Jesus looked at him and loved him. And Jesus loves what he sees. But then he lays it on really thick. "Truly, I tell you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Now, I don't want these verses embroidered on a tapestry in my dining room, but wow, it's just, he lays it on so thick. Jesus promises to his followers that they will receive 100-fold on their investments. That sounds great, but you know that Jesus' heart isn't saying this isn't a matter of becoming a real estate mogul or this world domination power monger. Instead, Jesus is doing what Jesus always does. He points to the poverty and the suffering of his life, because it's a poverty and a suffering that is to be the MO of those who would leave everything and follow him. He's trying to encourage the fledgling, downtrodden Christians of the first century. And so I hope we can find that Jesus is encouraging us, this community of faith that's doing our best to follow Jesus in this city 2,000 years later. And he says, when you follow me, your 100-fold increase will be with a community of unspectacular, humble people. And through this network of connection to lands and houses, you will be connected to places and spaces that you never imagined. And these people, us included, when we're in step with Jesus, we will provide places of welcome, security, shared resources, and support. And it all comes with persecutions as well. Because we know in this Gospel of Mark that it's a gospel that highlights the suffering servant, And so Mark keeps suffering in our purview. This is one of those Jesus stories where at the end we look at each other and we try to stand alongside the disciples and we might mutter, oof, or phew, this is a hard teaching. This is tough terrain. And on baby child blessing Sunday, whoa. But I think there's a good word for us here. And this is what keeps me in the conversation with Jesus. And this is what I would encourage us all with, is that Jesus looks on us with love. He knows us and he loves us still. And he knows we're trying pretty hard to follow him. He knows that we're still seeking after him, even through times and places when we don't always understand him. He knows our hearts are on a trajectory of longing to trust and learn. That's why we're here today as a community of faith. We want to learn and grow and stumble together in humility, but together. We want to learn to let go. And as we do, Jesus looks at us and Jesus loves what he sees. But he also beckons us to walk in his ways, the ways of suffering, the ways of humility, the ways of maturity. The ways of the first will be last, and the last will be first.